Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the PSNI's chief constable has raised serious concerns over the timing of budget cuts that he says will result in fewer police on the streets from next year. The chair of the HSE's Regional Health Forum welcomes indications from the HSE that they intend bringing all buildings on Letterkenny's St Connell's campus back into use. And the Office of the Planning Regulator raises a number of issues relating to the draft Letterkenny plan and local transport plan, particularly in relation to flood management. Later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. All that to follow, but first this evening, Boris Johnson says he's going to find it very difficult to vote for the Windsor framework. The former British Prime Minister told an event in central London this afternoon the agreement leaves the EU still with control over Northern Ireland. Despite the generally positive response that terms have received from Tory MPs, Boris Johnson believes it'll make it difficult to do things differently from Brussels. Meanwhile, there's still no confirmation as to whether the DUP will or will not back the deal and return to the Stormont Assembly. Former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern says if they don't, he doesn't see where there's left to go.
They put months of effort into this. But Rishi Sunak, in fairness to the man, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, I agree with him on what he's done this week, but maybe other issues I wouldn't. But he's put in a huge effort into this. And he's an enormous amount of problems on his plate. And he can't sit around giving this the time he's given in the last 2 months.
The PSNI's chief constable has raised serious concern about the timing of budget cuts in the north that he says will result in fewer officers on the streets from next year. It comes just a week after the attempted murder of Detective Chief Inspector John Caldwell in a gun attack in Omagh. The new IRA remains the primary line of inquiry. Well, Chief Constable Simon Byrne says the events over the past week have highlighted the need for a strong police force.
We are really concerned about the budgetary situation we face, that you only have to look into the eyes of tired officers and staff that have been dealing with this investigation to realise the strain it has put into the organisation. But as things stand at the moment, we are still due to lose over 300 more police officers and further police staff next year. So at some point, these questions have to be addressed if we're to continue with the pace and the resilience that we currently enjoy.
The chair of the HSC's Regional Health Forum has welcomed indications from the HSC that they intend to bring all buildings on the St Connell's campus in Letterkenny back into use. Councillor Jerry McMonagall had asked at the meeting what the HSE's long-term plans for the campus are, particularly in terms of the original 1901 building, which is currently in a state of dereliction. He was told that many areas of the main building can be used for a mix of clinical and administrative purposes, while the original building, they believe, can be renovated as an administrative centre. Well, Councillor McMonagall says that's to be welcomed.
They have walked the building. They see that it can't be a facility for the HSE, whether it be admin or, as they suggested, there will also be clinical services and other buildings that are currently vacant. But it's a long-term project. But they're going to be looking at it in the short term. They begin it fairly soon, hopefully over a period of time, that we will have the buildings back in use. They're lovely buildings. They're very much part of the fabric of Letterkenny and St Connell's campus. And to be honest, it's been a disgrace that they've lay for so long derelict, while there's much needed pressures on the HSE in relation to space, and that we're, the HSE is paying large rents for buildings outside of the campus and around Letterkenny and indeed the county. So I'm happy with that response. I would like now to see it move further to actually the sort of construction side and the refurbishment.
A statement of intent from the HSE is one thing, and you've got a clear statement of intent from them with regards to St Connell's. The other side of the coin, of course, is the funding, and there is no doubt about it, to bring that 1901 building back into use is going to take a huge amount of money. We are talking millions.
They have said that it is going to be challenging, but they are committed. We've been sitting looking at it for almost 20 years. They are clearly intending to do something about it now at long last, and we'll keep at them and look for regular updates and reports from them on it.
And that was Councillor Jerry McGonigal there. An exchequer deficit of €2.5 billion has been recorded to the end of February. It compares to a surplus of just over €1 billion in the same period last year. The change results from the transfer of €4 billion to the National Reserve Fund. Department of Finance figures show tax receipts are €1.3 billion, or 13% ahead of the same period last year. That's down to a growth in income tax, corporation tax and VAT. The Office of the Planning Regulator has raised a number of issues relating to the draft Letterkenny Plan and Local Transport Plan 2023 to 2029. One of the major concerns raised by the body was that the plan does not provide for an appropriate level of flood risk management. Donegal County Council says the submission is being assessed and considered. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
The UPR believes the publication of the draft Letterkenny plan in advance of the completion of the development plan review will give rise to significant practical and legal uncertainties regarding relevant policy framework. It has recommended a focused strategy be put in place to deliver housing close to the infrastructure and facilities within Letterkenny and avoid displacement to less sustainable locations. In terms of the transport plan, the OPR says it is overly focused on road building projects and is less so on reducing carbon emissions by facilitating and encouraging walking, cycling and other sustainable modes. The office notes that the area of land zoned for residential purposes is significantly in excess of what is required under national policy, which it says has implications for implementation of compact growth and integrated land use and sustainable transport planning. Concerns have been raised over the lack of an appropriate level of flood risk management consistent with a national objective under the MPF.
A link to that full report is available on our website, highlandradio.com. The Agriculture Minister says the government will consider putting a levy on state-owned energy companies that make profits which are above normal. Wholesale prices have reduced, but they haven't yet been passed on to customers. One man's electricity bill has come in at almost €1,700 for 2 months. Minister Charlie McConnellogue says customers need to see their bills coming down.
It's absolutely something we'll be looking at very closely, and we will consider if we don't see prices actually reduce appropriately, given what's happening in the market and the energy markets now. We haven't seen prices come down enough yet.
The Taoiseach has told the Dáil that issues around engineering costs being faced by families moving through the defective block redress scheme are being considered by the Housing Minister. Leo Varadkar was responding to Donegal TD Thomas Pringle, who told the Dáil a Donegal family has seen less than 70% cost recovery after their mica-affected home near Newton Cunningham was demolished. Deputy Pringle asked how the government can still claim that 100% redress is on the table.
Despite your chatter, the new scheme will not provide much more relief for the family. We are sick telling you that the scheme, old or new, will not work as presently set up. When will you and your government wake up to this fact?
I'm aware of the issue around engineering costs, something that Deputy Joe McHugh spoke to about only at the weekend. I've spoken to Minister Brian about it, and he is giving it consideration.
The Health Minister says half of all inpatient beds at Wexford General Hospital were located in an area affected by yesterday's fire. The damage is still being assessed by the HSE, HSA and environmental agencies. Gardaí are also carrying out a technical examination at the scene. Minister Stephen Donnelly says cancelling services last evening was the right call to make.
I've taken a look through the areas that have been affected. They do involve significant areas of the hospital, and probably over half the inpatient beds are in the area that was affected. Some diagnostics like endoscopy, women's health services, maternity services and other services as well. They obviously did the right thing last night in cancelling services.
The Transport Minister has again acknowledged the impact that the absence of a rail network in Donegal has had and continues to have on the county. Responding to questions from Deputy Eamon O'Queave in the Dáil today, Minister Eamon Ryan said the county has suffered for decades because of a lack of infrastructure. A strategic rail review is currently at an advanced stage. However, the lack of a functioning executive in Northern Ireland means it can't be published. Minister Ryan repeated his recent assertion that he believes there should be the establishment of a rail route from Portadown into Derry through Donegal.
I absolutely agree on the need for balanced regional development, particularly for the northwest and particularly for the lack of connectivity to Donegal. Sligo does have a rail service, but Donegal doesn't, and Donegal suffers from a lack of, from that, or has for decades. We will, however, there are certain limited resources, real limits, and it's very expensive. Charleston to Clooney, effectively, you'd almost have to build a new line. Very little of the existing line is reclaimed. And there is another investment proposal which I believe should get priority, which is a rail line running from Portadown west through via Dungannon, Omagh, Strabane, Letterkenny and Derry. That, in my mind, would have huge benefits in terms of all the towns along that route and for Letterkenny and connecting Letterkenny to Derry, which is a critical investment priority in my mind. That, rather than spending, which would be a very significant sum, on the Charleston, Colooney, Sligo and up to Donegal, that route, perhaps sometime in the future when we see the complete revival of rail, but I don't expect to see that recommended. I think we should concentrate on the other line, which would be very expensive, which would be real benefits, and focus on the section from Athenry, Claremorris, and from Rosslare to Waterford, and building new services along that entire line.
Minister Eamon Ryan. AIB says no one gets a special deal with the bank when it comes to debt write-downs. The bank's appearing before the Oireachtas Finance Committee today after it emerged 1,900 customers got 90% of their debts cancelled. The issue came to light when an agreement with former Kilkenny hurler DJ Carey was revealed in the media. Well, AIB's Managing Director of Retail Banking, Jim O'Keefe, told the committee celebrities and the wealthy don't get special treatment.
A lot of people have contacted us as well, who we've worked with over the years in good faith, and they've worked with us too. So it has caused a lot of heartbreak, and hence our appearance today. We are grateful for that to help us. You mentioned the fact that the public want to know, do we have a special deals arrangement? We do not. We deal with every case consistently and fairly. We have a governing set of policies.
A Donegal councillor says the HSE must consider whether a special package of incentives is necessary to attract people to work in the Nishon. When he asked a series of questions about respite services in the north of the peninsula at a meeting of the HSE's Regional Health Forum this week, Councillor Albert Doherty was told that progress was possible at Riverwalk House. However, it can't be legally progressed until a nurse manager is in place. He was told the job has been offered five times to a nursing panel, accepted twice and then declined twice. A new nursing panel is now in place and the post's been offered to another person. Well, Councillor Doherty says this raises serious questions.
There is a need for the HSE to inquire why and for what reason can we not fulfil all of the vacancies that emerge and require to be filled in Donegal and in Inishowen.
North Inishowen, Carndonagh has many benefits, but some people may look at the area, particularly if they're coming from outside of Donegal and don't know the area, and they may be somewhat daunted. Does something need to be done to attract people in and, if necessary, incentivise people to come in?
I believe the HSE have to take up the gauntlet, that is, this void that remains here, and do a full PR of what is available to prospective employees who take up employment. I think we have to ensure that it's attractive and perhaps even as regards employment and pay, we must look at incentives as well that can attract the right people for the vacant jobs that presently exist. And for us to be sitting in this peninsula without access to respite for so long is a blight on the progress that I expected to come from HSE and still is awaited.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Beat your personal best with new trainers from Asics, Brooks and New Balance, or gear up for the gym with activewear from Under Armour and Adidas.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with athletics, and two-time European indoor medalist Mark English has been forced to withdraw from this year's event in Istanbul. The Donegal man pulled out due to illness, leaving 13 Irish athletes to compete at the championships which get underway today. English, who was due to compete in the heats of the 800 metres, is disappointed not to be taken his place to the start line this evening. He said, "I came here in great shape, but unfortunately I'm not in a position to do myself justice." In Gaelic games, the Donegal hurlers will play their delayed Frank McGurk final this evening at the Hub in Belfast, 8 o'clock the start time. Mickey McCann's side face Ulster University in the decider of the pre-season competition. Donegal return to the final and will hope to get a better result after losing to Down in last year's game. Well, the football family in Donegal have been hit with shock and sadness this week with the passing of two big characters of the game. Kieran McGrath of Letterkenny Rovers and Liam Haughey of Bonagie United passed away yesterday. Kieran was the Ulster Senior League Registrar and has held many administrative roles, not just with the Ulster Senior League, but also with the Donegal Schoolboys and Youth League. Kieran was heavily involved in all aspects of the Letterkenny Rovers Club, with his most recent role, it was PRO. Liam held a variety of roles at Bonagie United, from player to manager, and was a mainstay in administration at the Dry Arch Club. All club activities at Rovers and Bonagie have been postponed as a mark of respect, and this weekend's Ulster Senior League games have also been called off. Liam will be laid to rest on Saturday, and Kieran's funeral will take place on Sunday. Elsewhere, there's two big games tomorrow night for the North West sides in the League of Ireland. Derry City, they go to champion Shamrock Rovers. Candy Stripes assistant boss Alan Reynolds confirmed that Cameron Dunnigan, Cameron McJanet and Michael Duffy will all miss the game. However, they could welcome back former Preston midfielder Adam O'Reilly. Sean Hoare, Sean Kavanagh and Ronan Finn, they remain injury doubts for Rovers. And in the First Division, Finn Harps, they play host to Bray Wanderers tomorrow night, looking for their first points of the season. Manager Dave Rogers says he has a fully fit squad to choose from for the clash in Ballybuffet, with the hope that new signing Noel Baba will be in the frame to feature. In schools football, the Dr. Tony O'Neill Senior National Cup semi-final today. That was disappointment for St. Columbus College and Stranorlar. It finished today. Wexford CBS 4, St. Columbus College Stranorlar 2. The game was played at the AUL complex in Dublin. Oisín Duffy and Daniel Marley with the goals for St. Columbus. In rugby, James Lowe has emerged as Ireland's latest fitness concern ahead of next week's Six Nations trip to Scotland. The Leinster winger sat out today's open training session at the Aviva Stadium with a calf problem. Gary Ringrose, Stuart McCluskey and Cian Healy, they all sat out the main part of today's session. But Ireland forwards coach Paul O'Connell expects all four to be fit for Murrayfield. In golf, Seamus Power is level par with five to play of his opening round at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Patrick Harrington tees off shortly, with both Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy teeing off closer to 6 o'clock. Jordan Spieth, Chris Kirk and Cameron Young are the joint course leaders at Bay Hill on 5 under par. And Leona Maguire is 6 off the lead after day one of the Women's World Championship in Singapore. The Cavan golfer opened with a 2 under par round of 70. Elizabeth Solicall, she holds a 3-shot lead on 8 under par. Finally, for this evening on the score this week, Dermot Doherty is joined by 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn to look ahead to Donegal's clash with Armagh. Joe Boyle will be in studio to preview Finn Harps against Bray and Derry City away to Shamrock Rovers. And it's another big weekend for Buncrana Hearts, who play in the quarterfinals of the FAA Junior Cup. We hear from their manager Gary Duffy. And we have a feature on referees with Con McLaughlin, former Finn Harps player who is chair of the Donegal branch of the Irish Soccer Referees Society. That's the score after 7 o'clock news. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, as we said, it is Thursday. Time for farming news and views, and we hand you over to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear some very positive news about applications for the Agri Climate Rural Environmental Scheme known as ACRES. But first, a shortage of homegrown potatoes in Irish shops is a distinct possibility unless the packing houses and supermarkets increase the amount paid to growers. That's according to the IFA. Increased fertiliser and land rental costs are putting the viability of commercial potato growing under severe strain. On top of this, the average cost of storing potatoes this winter and spring has almost doubled. Growers say that many of them will be forced out of the business unless the packhouses and supermarkets are willing to increase returns to their farmer suppliers. Well, almost 5,000 Donegal farmers have been accepted into the Agri-Climate Rural Environmental Scheme. It was confirmed this week. The Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, has announced that space has been found for all valid applications. Farmers are now expected to draw down a combined €266 million in payments this year. The average payment is expected to be in the region of €7,000 a year, and the scheme is hugely important for Donegal. Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been telling me more.
Yes, a really good positive news story, and a really good positive news story, say, for your listeners in Donegal. And I suppose credit where credit is due, Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, said at the outset, when he seen that there was 46,000 applications last November, December, that he was going to do all within his power to get to 16,000 extra places. And this week's announcement to deliver that has been very welcome, particularly in the midst of a real challenge for income for sheep, beef farmers in particular.
So over the years, we had reps, we've had loss, and, you know, every time a new scheme has come along, it's been hard to gauge just how popular they're going to be or what the uptake's going to be, and maybe there's a little bit of showmanship on all sides to get the best deal possible. But there's no doubt about it, this is going to be hugely significant for a lot of people.
Massively significant. Even if we look at, say, Donegal as a county for a minute, close to 5,000 applications, only exceeded by Mayo, which is 5,700 applications, and Galway, which is about 5,500 applications. Within the 5,000 applications in Donegal, there was a significant number to the cooperation entry routes, or 2,900 of the applications were to that. If we were to take an average payment that the department have worked on, about 7,000 per applicant, that would bring in 20 million to those farmers. Just over 2,000 farmers through the general entry route, and if we're to take the average payment of 5,000 per participant, you're bringing in another 10 million there, so like 30 million a year, or 150 million over the 5 years. It is very, very significant, especially in the current climate, where you have such pressure on incomes, on sheep, beef systems. And also, it is important for the dairy farmers who will have signed up to it in Donegal as well.
And also important to point out that this money coming into the economy will have the multiplier effect. The bulk of this money is going to be spent locally on inputs and all sorts of things.
Hugely. Like, there has been numerous research, done. The most recent research, I think, was done in Clare. There was a big study done a few years ago that showed that every euro that came into farmers that had a multiplier effect of nearly €4, in that it was generating spins in rural areas. And that's really important. I suppose there has been so much pressure in recent times on farming in rural areas, and to have this income source, or to have this finally sorted, it's a big, big addition to the 16,000 farmers who would have been left in limbo, or who would have had to wait another year for access to an agri-environmental scheme. It also shows the huge ambition that is there at the moment in the farming sector to do more for the environment, to do more for climate change. That this, say, acres, it's all about agri-environmental measures. Farmers are willing to take up the mantle and to do more on environmental measure.
And just to explain, this is over a period of 5 years.
5 year contract. So the farmers say that we get their letters this week. The start date will be backdated to the 1st of January. So they'll have to hit the ground running. There is a big job of work, particularly in Donegal and Mayo, for the next few months ahead, because while, say, the general entry route applications would have had plans done at the point of entry, the cooperation, plans, or the cooperation entry route, their plans are a bit more complex, in that it will be based on advisors or cooperation teams going out and assessing the environmental status of these areas, and that will benchmark payments over the next few years, or it will benchmark a top-up in payments. The scheme will open again this autumn, and the big question now is this: how many places are going to be there? So the initial was to have 30,000 places last year, 20,000 places this autumn, and there is a growing appetite. Is there more funding that can be secured to utilise the interest that's there at the moment, and to support a greater number of farmers than the 50,000 initially targeted.
So farmers will have to make changes, they'll have to adapt some new practices. It's all part of this rural environmental scheme. What happens in terms of inspections and making sure that people are doing what they say they're going to do?
There is quite an extensive inspection protocol depending on what entry stream that you've gone in. So as I mentioned, if you went through, say, the cooperation entry route, all of those farms are going to have to be walked this year. The condition of aspects, like the condition of, say, the habitats that are there, that'll all be scored. And that'll provide the baseline of what farmers are going to get paid on in future years. Then those same areas will be inspected again in year 3 and year 5. And the payments farmers receive will be based on the improvements in, say, the condition of the vegetation or, say, whatever measures are put in place or the investments that farmers have made. On the general entry routes, there'll be advisors doing a lot of follow-up inspections and this. There'll be a lot of record keeping. So there is a significant volume of work for farmers to do. There'll be a host of measures that I suppose farmers will invest in. Did I talk there about average payments of 5,000 and 7,000? It's important to say that a significant percentage of those payments will be invested back into the farms that they're coming onto, and that will long-term benefit the environment and also, I suppose, the efficiency in the way these farms are operating.
One significant scheme, the basic payment scheme, another one, and again, of considerable importance to farmers here in Donegal.
The new scheme, which will be known going forward as the Basic Income Support for Sustainability, will bring changes for every farmer, irrespective of what your farming system was. If you had 30 hectares of land for the last 20 years and you had 10 cows on that, you are still going to have changes because the format and the way payments are paid, that is all changing. So there's a couple of things farmers need to be aware of. Is that they have to deliver an active farmer status. They will have to check the space for nature estimates, which is essentially the amount of environmental areas that are on their farm. They have to confirm whether that's right. They have to look at their maps to make sure that that's right. All of this has to be done in the next few months. There is a big learning curve here, given the complexity. My advice would be that as soon as possible, farmers need to get working on this.
And that was Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association is demanding an emergency support package of €50 million for sheep farmers to be funded from the Brexit Reserve Fund. It also wants the Sheep Improvement Scheme increased towards €30 a ewe and an extra €5 a ewe for the correct presentation of wool. Finally, an increase in the TB compensation payment rates paid to farmers is on the way. But to help pay for it, there will be a hike in TB disease levies payable by farmers. The new rates will be backdated to the 1st of February 2023. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
And the weather forecast now for this Thursday evening. Mainly cloudy with just a few bright spells, light to moderate easterly breezes. Tonight largely dry and cloudy with light and variable breezes. Lows of 0 to 3 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow again mainly dry with varying amounts of cloud and some bright spells. A few light showers possible through the day. Highs on Friday of 7 to 9 degrees Celsius in a light east to northeast breeze. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 2nd of March. The death has occurred of Eamon Doherty, 90, Tullycar Road, Ahearn, Castlederg. Reposing at the family home tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and again on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from the family home on Sunday morning at 10 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahearn, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The house is private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Richie Doherty, Leenan, Uris Clonmany and Falkirk, Scotland. His remains will arrive at the Bridgend border on Saturday afternoon at approximately 1:30, going to his late home. Removal from there at 5:30 on Saturday evening, going to St Michael's Church, Uris Clonmany, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Sunday morning at 10, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is private to family only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Liam Gutcha Hawhey, 13 Mount Pleasant, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, and formerly of Listillion. Reposing at his late residence with family time, please, until 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel. Interment afterwards in Newleck Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Sheep Haven Search and Recovery Unit and Donegal Mountain Rescue Team, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. The death has taken place of Kieran McGrath, 122 Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Remains reposing at his late residence tomorrow and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 11:30, going to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Sheep Haven Search and Rescue, care of any family member. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. with family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Mary-Ann McAteer, née Shields, Rockdale, Doebeg, Fanad. Mary-Ann's remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there at 10:30 on Saturday, travelling via Port Salon, arriving in St Columba's Church Massmount for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary at 8 p.m. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 9:30 a.m. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St Mary's Fanavolte and St Columba's Massmount Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McAteer funeral directors. The death has taken place of Helen McDermott, née McBride, 1 Ballycommon Avenue, Strabane. Reposing at her home this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Seamus Behan, Ashling, Butcher Street, Lifford. Reposing at St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford. Requiem Mass there tomorrow morning at 10, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live at clonleyparish.com. The death has taken place of Bridget McLaughlin, née O'Neill, 92 Muldener Road, Ford Len, County Derry. Reposing at her late home. Funeral tomorrow morning, leaving her late home at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Peter and St Paul's Church, Ford Len, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of May Mooney, née Coyle, Moville Road, Carndonagh. Reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.